All by myself. Don't wanna be all by myself.
Yes, honey.
Anymore.
Shut up. Oh my God, work.
I hate you.
I love that for you. This is the first time.
Oh, I'm first drinking. One? All right.
Angry Orch.
Woo! You don't like it?
It tastes like cough medicine, dude.
What? It tastes like apple juice.
I'm drunk right now, but it tastes like cough medicine.
Wow, hater.
Girl. I'm really disappointed in your taste buds. Oh.
You know, that was the first drink that got me onto, like, cider.
Red's apple ale is good.
What?
Red's apple ale.
No.
That's
no.
Good.
That's for the... No. No,
for but what?
For the fake ass bitches.
Oh my God.
Angry Orchard's where it's at, boo. Dude, I drink Angry Orchard a lot.
Bro.
I've gotten drunk off of Angry Orchard a whole bunch.
It tastes like medicine.
Man, fuck you. Drink it.
But it's okay.
Whatever will get you drunk. Doesn't matter. Are you ready for this week's episode?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yes.
Hello, everybody. My name is Sarah.
And my name is Lindsay.
And this is...
Gozoni Mayas.
Can I get a holly? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And this week's episode is going to be the Wendigo. Lindsay, Ann, do you know what the Wendigo is?
No. What is it?
No
about?
Idea.
No.
I'm about to tell you, boo boo.
Let's hear it, girl.
Are you ready?
And scene.
And scene. It's the middle of winter. And you're stranded in the dead cold of the night. You had come out to the wilderness to get away from the hustle and bustle of the real world, but now you're stuck out in the middle of a forest on a cold winter's night, and that was a stupid fucking idea. As you're trying your hardest to keep warm next to the dwindling fire, you hear something far off in the wind. It sounds faint, far away, but it definitely sounds like your name. It couldn't be. No one knows where you are. Plus, it's too far out and away from civilization. It couldn't be someone calling for you. But as the hours roll by, the sound is getting closer and closer. And it is your name. And it definitely sounds like a human yelling out to you. It's driving you insane. And the cold and the hunger you're feeling, you can't take it anymore. You can't! You run out into the dense forest, leaving behind what little fire and warmth and reality you had at your camp. And before you know it, something is taking you. You feel its claws digging into your arms and it's dragging you across the forest floor. Your feet are on fire. It got you. It got you. And you know it's going to kill you and eat you. It's the Wendigo. In this week's episode, we're going to dive into the mythological creature that is ravaged and tormented by its need for human flesh. This week's mythical beast is called the Wendigo. So let's stay hungry and dive into some cannibalistic shit.
What the heck?
I did scare you this time.
Yeah, you did. I was like, oh, shit.
So, like I said, guys, this week's episode is going to be pretty intense.
Pretty good.
Can I get a hole? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. All right. So, let's get into it.
Description of the Wendigo.
The Wendigo is a mythological creature or evil spirit from the folklore of the First Nations. The Algonquin tribes, based in the northern forest of Nova Scotia, the east coast of Canada, and the Great Lakes region of Canada, as well as Wisconsin. Random. Everything's in Canada, and then there's Wisconsin. So the Wendigo has been part of the traditional belief system of a number of Algonquin-speaking people, such as the, and don't fucking hate me for this, it's, I'm going to say these all wrong, the Ojibwa, the Saulteaux, the Cree, the Naskapi, and the Innu. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, oh, no. You pronounced it best.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So due to the Wendigo not being from just one tribe of the Algonquin, the description of the Wendigo varies. The only thing that is known in all of the cultures is that the Wendigo is malevolent, cannibalistic, and supernatural. The Wendigo is usually associated with winter, the north, coldness, famine, and starvation. So all the bad, skinny, and cold shit.
Damn.
I think one of the best descriptions that have been told that I was able to find on the websites comes from Basil H. Johnston, who is an Ojibwa teacher and scholar from Ontario. Basil says, this is his description. Lindsay Ann, are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Wendigo was gaunt to the point of emaciation. Its dissected skin pulled tightly over its bones with its...
Desiccated?
Desiccated?
Desiccated skin?
Bitch, I don't fucking know. I just wrote it down. Its desiccated skin pulled tightly over its bones with its bones pushing out of its skin. Its complexion, the ash gray of death, and its eyes pushed back deep into their sockets. The Wendigo looked like a gaunt skeleton recently disinterred from the grave. What lips it had were tattered and bloody, unclean and suffering from suppuration of the skin. The Wendigo gave off a strange and eerie odor of decay and decomposition. Which, to me, sounds creepy as fuck, but I'm kind of into that, you know. I'm into that creepy shit.
Period.
So the Wendigo is usually depicted as a monstrous, malevolent spirit with some characteristics of a human, or as a spirit who has possessed a human being and turned them into a Wendigo. The influence of a Wendigo invokes acts of murder, insatiable greed, cannibalism, and the disgust from others that usually follows these kinds of behaviors. So, in Ojibwa, Eastern Cree, Westman, Swampy Cree, Naskapi, and the Innu lore, which are all Native American, the Wendigos are often described as gigantic spirits over 15 feet tall that had once been human but had been transformed into a creature by the use of magic. Which, like I said earlier, everyone has their own descriptions that so many other cultures don't have this in their descriptions. Wendigos are generally said to have glowing eyes, long yellowed fangs, terrible claws, and overly long tongues. Sometimes they are described as having sallow, which is a descriptive word for an unhealthy yellow or pale brown color, yellowish skin, and other times depicted to be covered with matted hair. The creature is said to have a number of skills and powers, including health or stealth, is a near-perfect hunter, knows and uses every inch of its territory, and can control the weather through the use of dark magic.
Damn.
Dude, I don't know about that. I think the dog man is more... makes more sense of the Wendigo, but that's just me. When a Wendigo eats another person, it would grow to the proportion of the meal it just ate, which in turn would leave the Wendigo hungry for more and never full. For that reason...
Okay, re-explain that again.
So basically when a Wendigo eats somebody, it ingests the whole body, mm-hmm. and its body moves to the size of that thing so that it would still have hunger. You know what I'm saying?
That's freaking weird. That's weird.
It's fucking crazy. All right. So, like I said, the Wendigo eats another person, it would grow to the proportion of the meat it just ate, which in turn would leave the Wendigo hungry for more and never full. For that reason, Wendigos are portrayed as gluttonous and extremely thin due to starvation. Always being hungry will do that to you. The Wendigo is considered the embodiment of gluttony, greed, and excess. So basically, they just eat it, and it's like nothing, and they just want more, and they just could keep going for more. So, but as much as everyone sees the Wendigo as a mythological beast, there's also a medical term used to describe a patient who is just experiencing an intense craving for human flesh and fear of becoming a cannibal. This is called Wendigo psychosis, ironically. This psychosis is said to occur when people living around the Great Lakes of Canada and the U.S. Wendigo psychosis usually develops in the winter in individuals who are isolated by heavy snow for long periods. The initial symptoms are poor appetite, nausea, and vomiting. Subsequently, the individual develops a delusion of being transformed into a Wendigo monster. People who have Wendigo psychosis increasingly see others around them as being edible. At the same time, they have an exaggerated fear of becoming cannibals. So they, like, want to be a cannibal, but then they have a fear of being a cannibal. I don't know. This shit's confusing. So the most common response when a person showed signs of Wendigo psychosis was a curing attempt by traditional native healers. If these attempts failed and if the possessed person began either to threaten those around them or to act violently or antisocially, they were executed. So they basically just killed them. During the harsh winters of North America, a season of famine and the extreme need was common. To avoid resorting to cannibalism, the tribes told the story of the Wendigo as a warning. Suicide or even starvation was much better seen than having to resort to the atrocity of eating the flesh of one of their relatives. The Wendigo is therefore a resource for establishing a system of values coexistence among the population of Algonquins. That's how you say it.
The hell?
So, agilities and abilities, how are they hunting? Different versions of the Wendigo legend say different things about his speed and agility. Some claim he is unusually fast and can endure walking for long periods of time.
So even the Wendigo is male?
Supposedly. Even in harsh winter conditions. The others say he walks in a more haggard manner, as if he is falling apart. But speed wouldn't be necessary skill for a monster of this nature. Unlike other terrifying carnivores, the Wendigo doesn't rely on pursuing his prey in order to capture and eat it. Rather, one of his creepiest traits is his ability to mimic human voices. He uses his skill to lure people in and draw them away from civilization. Once they're isolated in the desolate depths of the wilderness, he attacks them and then feasts on them.
Oh, that's fucked.
Yeah. Other versions record how the Wendigo would come to its victim and shake his hand, making him run from long strides which were drawn in the snow. At some point, the human footprints would fade away, unable to follow in his footsteps, at which point the Wendigo would lift his sausage into the air to devour him. As their abilities, their sharp nails and long fingers allowed them to climb trees and walls. They are fast, but they are a strategic disadvantage. Their vision is based on movement, so legend has it, if you stand completely still, the Wendigo may just ignore you.
I saw a video, this girl, her and her friends, they were on a bridge, but her dad was saying he was going to pick them up. Well, this guy, she heard her dad's voice, but he was calling her by her nickname, mm-hmm. And he was under the bridge. And she was like, "Dad, are you there? Hello? Why did you call us? Why do you want us to go down there? Do you need help? Is something wrong?" He wasn't responding. But he, while they were walking that way, he was calling her by her nickname.
Ugh.
So, I don't know what happened after that. I didn't, like...
Bro, that's creepy. I don't know.
That's just weird.
So, as much as there are supernatural Wendigos, there are... like human Wendigos, which lead us into some traditions. Some humans are so overpowered by greed, they end up turning into Wendigos. Some believe that the human personality continues to reside within the Wendigo, specifically where its heart should be. This person is frozen, and the only way to kill a Wendigo is to kill a human within it as well.
Hmm.
A few legends state that the frozen person is successfully rescued from inside the creature. In most cases, however, death is the only way to free a person from the Wendigo. This part of the myth was only said to encourage people into cooperation and moderation. So it wasn't real. But you know what is real?
What?
Wendigo sightings and stories. So, as the tale goes, the first ever Wendigo was once a lost hunter. During a brutally cold winter, the man's intense hunger drove him to cannibalism. After feasting on another human's flesh, he transformed into a crazy man-beast, roaming the forest in search of more people to eat. In another version of the story, the first Wendigo is said to have been a warrior who made a deal with the devil. In order to save his tribe, he gave up his soul and was transformed into the Wendigo. When peace ensued, there was no need for such a fearsome creature, and the warrior was banished from his tribe and forced to live as an outcast. I mean, they literally just threw out a man who gave up his complete life to save his tribe, yeah. But I mean, whatever. So the vast majority of supposed Wendigo sightings happened between the 1800s and the 1920s. Few reports of the creature have surfaced since then, but every so often, an alleged sighting emerges. Most recently, in 2019, a mysterious howls in the Canadian wilderness have led to question whether they were caused by the infamous man-beast. One hiker who was present said, "I've heard many different animals in the wild, but nothing like this." So this story that I'm about to read you, Lindsay Ann, is called The Wendigo, and it is actually from the book Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Have you ever read that when you were a kid?
No.
Dude, that's a crazy fucking story. Crazy fucking book. This is how it goes. So here's the story from one of my ultimate childhood books, which I guess says a lot about me, because it's called The Wendigo, and it was written in a little book called Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
You might have heard of it.
So a wealthy man wanted to go hunting in a part of northern Canada where few people had ever hunted. He traveled to a trading post and tried to find a guide to take him, but no one would do it. It was too dangerous, they said. Finally, he had an Indian who needed money badly, and he agreed to take him. The Indian's name was DeFago. They made camp in the snow near a large frozen lake for 3 days. They hunted, but they had nothing to show for it. The third night, a windstorm came up. They lay in their tents, listening to the wind howling and the trees whipping back and forth. To see this storm better, the hunter opened the tent flap. Mm-hmm. What he saw startled him. There wasn't a breath of air stirring, and the trees were standing perfectly still. And still, yet he could hear the wind howling, and the more he listened, the more it sounded as if it were calling DeFago's name. "DeFago," it called. "DeFago." "I must be losing my mind," the hunter thought. But DeFago had gotten out of his sleeping bag. He was huddled in the corner of the tent, his head buried in his arms. "What's this all about?" the hunter asked. "It's nothing," DeFago said. But the wind continued to call for him, and DeFago became more and more tensed and more restless. "DeFago," he called. "DeFago." Suddenly,
ew.
He jumped to his feet and began to run from the tent. But the hunter grabbed him and wrestled him to the ground. "You can't leave me out here," the hunter shouted. Then the wind called again, and DeFago broke loose and ran into the darkness. The hunter could hear him screaming as he went. Again and again he cried, "Oh, my fiery feet! My burning fiery feet!" Then his voice faded away, and the wind died down.
Dude.
At daybreak, the hunter followed DeFago's tracks in the snow.
Bitch. The wind just fucking went with your fucking story.
They went through the woods, down towards the lake, then out into the ice. But soon, he noticed something strange. The steps DeFago had taken got longer and longer. They were so long, so no human could have taken them. It was as if something had helped him to hurry away. The hunter follow the tracks out to the middle of the lake, but they disappeared. At first, he thought that DeFeo had fallen through the ice, but there wasn't any hole. Then he thought that something had pulled him off the ice and into the sky, but that made no sense. As he stood wondering what had happened, the wind picked up again. Soon it was howling as if it had the night before. And then he heard DeFeo's voice. It was coming from up above, and again he heard DeFeo screaming, "My feet! My fiery feet!" And there was nothing to be seen. Now, the hunter wanted to leave that place as fast as he could. He went back to camp and packed. Then he left some food for DeFeo, and he started out. So, weeks later, this hunter, he reached civilization. And the following year, he went back to hunt in that area again. He went to the same trading post to look for a guide. And the people there could not explain what had happened to DeFeo that night. But they had not seen him since then. So DeFeo's gone. We don't know where the fuck he's at. And the hunter's just like, what the fuck? So one of them said maybe it was a Wendigo. And he laughed. It's supposed to come with the wind, and it drags you along at great speed until your feet are burned away, and more of you than that. Then it carries you into the sky, and it drops you. It's just a crazy story, but that's what some of the Indians say. A few days later, the hunter was at the trading post again, and an Indian came by and sat by the fire. He had a blanket wrapped around him, and he wore his hat so that you couldn't see his face. The hunter thought there was something familiar about him. He walked over and he asked, "Are you DeFeo?" The Indian didn't answer. "Do you know anything about him?" No answer. He began to wonder if something was wrong, if the man needed help, but he couldn't see his face. "Are you alright?" he asked. No answer. To get a look at him, he lifted the Indian's hat. Then he screamed. There was nothing under that hat but a pile of ashes. Lindsay! Hey.
Ow, my thigh.
So this is the Wendigo in Yorktown, Texas. Lindsay, where's Yorktown? Pretty fucking close to us.
It is close.
So this one comes from Yorktown, Texas. And it's going to be a little closer to home.
So someone said that they've sighted a
in Yorktown, Texas. Yorktown, Texas.
Does not surprise me. Haunted ass place.
Yorktown is terrible. So Yorktown is about 40 minutes away from Yoakum. And this was written by Ezel Vargas and submitted to TrueHorrorStoriesOfTexas.com, and this is his story. Wendigos are real, and the one that has been sighted all over Texas is the same one I saw a couple of times. That last time, though, I saw a clear, detailed body, and I'll never forget its huge black eyes. I've heard its mimicry of dying animals, and even my old friend calling for help in the dark forest, even though I knew they were home because I dropped them off at their house and walked home myself. It tried to lure me into the woods, but I know it's games. In the winter of 2016, twice in 2018, and the fall months, and again in the new year of 2019. January 12, 1912, it was a relatively cold night with a slight misting. I circled my whole town because it's pretty small. Coming home, I walked by its large patch of woods. As I'm coming up to it, the woods on my right and an old metal building with its small white houses beside it to my left. It was this 8 to 10 foot tall pale figure briskly walking across the dirt road from one of my houses to the woods about 40 feet in front of me. I know I saw something, but I ignored it and continued walking forward. Then this feeling of heaviness and dread washes over me as if I'm being watched. I take out my phone and switch on the light app and keep it aimed at the woods. I turned my head back and forth in the houses of the woods as I'm walking still. About the fifth time, I look back at the woods, and there it is. It's on all fours, crouching over, is easily still, only about 5 feet from the shoulder, and I'm about 5 foot, by the way, so that's how I could tell it was again. Only about 40 feet away. It had been bleached white skin, a bald head, black, huge black eyes, human face, and a body, except it looked extremely emaciated in its arms where the super long twigs. It startled and swayed its back and forth like a mantis. That's when I ran as fast as I could. I only looked back after I ran a block. It didn't chase me, but I'm pretty sure it was upset. I interrupted the spying session of the people sleeping in those houses. Please be careful in Yorktown, Texas. If you're here, I know you'll believe me and take my advice. So this is my conclusion. If you're ever in a position where you're feeling a little hungry and you have nothing to eat, definitely don't eat another human being. Just die, because anything would be better than turning into a Wendigo.
Do you feel like they're real?
Dude, I don't know. This is kind of like iffy. This is like right on the brink.
You just never know. You never know with things. Like, I don't know. It's just surprising of...
I know, but this one is like... They actually saw it. They actually dealt with it. They had it within their company for like a long time. So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm not skeptical of it. I mean, if somebody thinks it's real, I am saying right now, you just never fucking know. So I'm not gonna like mark it out as no, that's fucking fake. I definitely believe it's a possibility, but
true.
I'm not gonna, you know, debunk whatever anybody else has to say about it.
I agree.
So
I think they're all over the place. I don't know if they're reproducing. I don't know. Whatever. But they're...
Wake up.
Bitch, that's fucking killing you fucking whore. But yeah. So it's... It would be really difficult to try to find that. I think that's a really difficult encounter.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But
so
that's the Wendigo.
That is the Wendigo. All right, guys. Awesome. So... y'all can find us on Instagram at GhostDEMA. Please follow us, subscribe, whatever the fuck you do. Send us out there. Get us some
inbox us some stories.
Inbox us. Like, send us an email. Tell us if you love us, if you don't love us. Tell us why you don't love us. And give us some information. Like, maybe what's something we can do next. Like, what's something that you really want to listen to? Because I'm kind of running out of ideas here, and I really need your help. So you can get in contact with us at ghost, that's ghost.demyass@gmail.com. please do not hesitate to contact us and let us know what you're thinking. So
yeah,
all right guys,
okay,
I love you guys.
Spook you later.
We care about you. Spook you later.
Bye. They call me the throat.
They call you throat eponymous.
I'm just kidding.